Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Lee.
Hey there, Tara.
Okay, keep your eye on this Hayden Panettiere case here in Greenville.
Mm-hmm.
This is about to get really interesting. Yesterday, the on-again, off-again boyfriend, Brian Hickerson, retained attorneys.
Yeah, I'm lawyered up.
Yep, lawyered up. And those attorneys have come out to remind the community and the world that there have been no findings of foul play, none whatsoever by the police, by the coroner.
That's true, yeah.
So far.
Mm-hmm.
And that he is, you know, not a suspect or anything like that at this time. Of course, we've already learned from the coroner there's no external signs of violence to her body.
Right.
The question now is kind of what went on with the drugs.
Well,
it appears.
The DEA now is assisting in that investigation along with the Greenville County Sheriff's Office and the Greenville County Coroner's Office.
This has the potential, this case, Lee, I think, to be one of these massive defining cases in Greenville County for our law enforcement, like at not just the national, but the international level. This has the potential to get absolutely huge. Having watched the police work for years as a crime reporter and then getting the background here, Lee, on Brian Hickerson, let me tell you what's going on inside right now, our police, and this is why they had to call the DEA in. When you have a guy like Hickerson, who has been convicted of domestic violence in California for hitting Hayden Panettiere with a closed fist. I don't know if a lot of people realize that. And he's also got a history of trying to make those charges go away because, you know, in domestic violence cases, the victim is the witness, right? So they can sometimes go a little sideways. He has a history of sending threats to her, not of physical violence, but of, hey, you know, I need these charges to go away. I need, you know, this, you know, situation to go away with the prosecution, with me having a record, that kind of thing. And wow, you know, if it doesn't, I'm going to release secrets that I have that basically would embarrass you, things that would be known to him. I don't know what they are. You've got that guy. That's the guy found at the scene of her death. So if you're police, okay, just basic police work, what you've got to do at this point with Brian Hickerson and his brother is you've got to clear him. You've got to go through and make sure, wow, okay, this is a guy with a history of convicted domestic abuse against her. You got to make sure there was nothing funny going on here in order to close the case. Now, every crime podcaster looking for hits, clicks, and likes on the planet, Lee, is going to be watching everything that the Greenville PD does here and floating a lot of conspiracy theories and creating a lot of confusion. I mean, this is what goes on in these cases. And everything will be scrutinized, you know, 15 times. Did he miss anything? And here's a new angle. So this is a level of attention I think they're not used to functioning under. But yeah. when you look at this guy, Lee, Brian Hickerson, Hayden Panettiere's mom said, listen, you know, we had reservations about her dating him for a long time. It's kind of an understatement. He was arrested on domestic violence charges in Los Angeles 2019, where prosecutors claimed he willfully inflicted corporal injury resulting in a traumatic condition on Panettiere. Then again, February 14th, 2020, Valentine's Day, this time they're in Jackson, Wyoming. He's arrested and charged with domestic battery and interfering with a police officer. And court documents report that he punched Panettiere, quote, with a closed fist on the right side of her face, unquote. And her face appeared red and swollen with additional marks, possibly from his watch. He pleaded not guilty in that one, and he later faced sentencing related to domestic battery in that jurisdiction. And then separately, in another Los Angeles incident, July 2020, Los Angeles prosecutors charged him with multiple felonies based on incidents spanning May 2019 to January 2020. Those include four counts of corporal injury on a spouse cohabitant, two counts of assault with a deadly weapon, references to, you know, garage floor, stairs, that kind of thing. One count of intimidating or dissuading a witness, that's Panettiere, and because he would just continue sending her these messages that, you know, were very threatening. Again, not physically threatening, but threatening to, you know, disclose things that would hurt her career, and a misdemeanor battery charge. So you got that guy is at the scene. And the police report, which is still heavily redactedly, says that he didn't have any emotion as they're trying to save her life. He did apparently afterward. That was a key finding of the police and significant enough for them to note it. Inside the Greenville, they're not going to say anything right now, and they can't. But inside the Greenville PD, they are going to dig deep on this one. You can tell they are because of, you know, the mix of drugs involved. It, you know, very similar to the Matt Perry cocktail that killed him. And you remember that resulted in criminal charges. Now, I want to be really clear. I'm not saying anybody did anything, including Brian Hickerson. Nobody knows. But when you've got a background like that, Lee, this is a tough case for the police. And again, their job right now, I'm not saying anyone did anything, but their job right now, they got to clear him. And that starts to be very difficult. And that's why they're calling in the DEA to make sure they understand the chemical components of this. And it could just be it could just be Lee. She was on a collision course with the overdosing was going to happen anyway. These two happened to be there. It gets weirder because there were two people there, Brian Hickerson, right? But also his brother, who she had also been romantically involved in a kind of at times, although not recently, love triangle. So, man, this is the kind of thing media salivates over, hits, clicks, likes, every crime podcaster out there. This thing could get really, really big. It's going to be interesting to watch.
It's interesting, too, because this sort of falls in line with some of the prosecutions we're seeing now about people who provide people with drugs. And if they succumb to that, then they're charged with the death.
Yes.
And, you know, that is a change in law that many states, including South Carolina, have done. And so now it is broadening the scope of people involved and the circle of friends there, so to speak, of people who are involved, if this was the case, in any illegal drug activity.
Absolutely. So they're obviously trying to separate all this out. One thing I think we can say pretty clearly, this is not over.
Yeah.
This is going to go on for a while.
Everyone needs to be careful. But yeah, just not jump to conclusions, but certainly don't close your eyes to any of the things going on around it, because it could be a little bit more interesting than it first appears. And it's just a sad situation all the way
terribly
around.
Terribly sad situation.
I mean, I had no particular, you know, interest in her as an actress or anything. It's just, you know, when you have some young woman that's, you know, obviously talented and obviously troubled, and this is how it all ends, and there's a child involved, and, you know, it's just sad situation.
Absolutely. And Greenville is ground zero, obviously, yeah. Here. It's going to be interesting to see. This is the kind of big Hollywood murder mystery that, you know, they're equipped and used to dealing with in Los Angeles from, like, a PR standpoint.
Yeah.
This is going to be new for the Greenville PD. So
I just hope everything is handled better than it was in Carlton County. I'll just say that.
Yeah. We don't have a really good history in our state of handling these kinds of cases. And part of it's still, you know, South Carolina. I mean, South Carolina is not L.A. when it comes to this kind of thing. So and that's a good thing. That's why we live here.
Yeah.
So, all right. Coming up on the show, we started all the pieces are coming together, Lee, on this COVID thing. And the level here of the knowledge and complicity and quite frankly, flat out evil by Anthony Fauci is absolutely shocking.
When we find out and many others.
We're finding out. I mean, this is a guy who the first month of COVID wrote that it came from the wet market in his own diary. He knew it because he put it there. He funded it. Now we're finding out that his, you know, associate that worked for him that just pleaded guilty.
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, FOIA crimes. What was he burying? What was he conspiring? Because that's what he pleaded guilty to, the conspiracy to violate FOIA, get rid of records. It was specifically on the Wuhan lab grant to hide the transfer of that technology to China, the details of the technology transfer to China. Again, the technology was gain of function, taking a perfectly harmless virus Lee, that had no intent on its own of ever leaving that Batcave, going and getting it, you know, hundreds of miles away, hauling it out when it still wasn't dangerous enough to kill. They gain a functioned it, taught it to kill, taught it to spread to humans, and made it more deadly and more viral. Well, the details of that we don't have, and it turns out part of that's because of the conspiracy around Anthony Fauci to hide those details, for which one person, Lee, will be sentenced and now has pled guilty. So this thing is, you know what is interesting to me? Either Biden or somebody in the Biden administration who gave him that unprecedented since the founding full pardon for more than a decade, supposed to be for one crime. At least, what was the conversation among them like? That's what I want to FOIA. Yeah. They knew, seemed to know he'd need it, Lee, weirdly, right? Like that he had committed all these crimes and people around him had committed these crimes. How did they know that?
I'm sure there's a long list of DOJ, FBI, and attorneys and White House counselors that are fully aware of what went on, and they're all kind of sweating right now.
Yeah, my question is, okay, to know he needed the pardon and to know the dates from which he needed the pardon, you would have to know about the crimes, right? Do we have accessories here? That's all I'm saying. This thing's getting very interesting and much more coming up on the show.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.
As South Carolina tilts toward a Senate vote, today is the last day, early voting, last day of early voting in the Republican primary, a Senate vote that I kid you not, will define this state for the next generation. It is that important. It is one of the, if not the, aside from presidential races, but we don't really make much of a difference in those except in the primary here in South Carolina, one of the most important races you will vote on in your lifetime. I am not exaggerating on that. It is that important. And you know how you could tell it's important? Democrat Party is broke right now. And I mean stone cold broke. So broke. They owe $18 million. And they're currently getting through the midterms, the DNC is, on a $15 million line of credit. They got by mortgaging the DNC headquarters. Why? Their donors won't write checks. And so when you find a donor willing to write checks, that's a valuable thing. They've got so many close races. I think Tallarico in Texas, think North Carolina, think Georgia, other places that they need to compete, get those Senate seats. And yet they found $1 million to dump into this race to defeat Ralph Norman. And they are stone cold Democrats. These are the same people who provided $12 million for almost $12 million for Kamala Harris's campaign to boost her reelection efforts, worked to get Biden and Harris elected in 2020. And now they're trying to get Darlene Graham elected. So I put this out on the internet, got a ton of hits, clicks, and likes, and I challenged Darlene Graham to disavow. She claimed at the debate, we're 3 days past this now, she claimed at the debate, but she had no idea that the Democrats were funding her campaign. None whatsoever. She's completely confused. Not a clue. I don't know anything about Democrat PACs. I'm completely confused. Okay, well, guess what? Now she knows. So I challenged her. Disavow it. If you're not a Democrat, you're not a Democrat, disavow. Publicly tell the Democrat PAC to stop sending things to the people of South Carolina on your behalf. Tell them to stop. I mean, if it's me, you know, I'm at the debate, say I'm running for office, you're running for office, and you find out Democrats are spending $1 million to elect you, would you not be curious? Would you not, as soon as you got out of the debate, go, gosh, I mean, assume she's telling the truth, right? And it's possible she doesn't know that the, you know, the Graham machine, the Graham staffers didn't tell her. Would you be curious? Wouldn't you get online? Find out, who are these people? Why are they spending money on me? Been 3 days. I challenged her to disavow them. Just disavow them. Say, hey, tell them, you know what? Stop spending money on my behalf. Okay? Because now you know. Has she? No.
I'm not sure what Democratic PAC he's talking about. I haven't even seen the ad, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Folks, there is a uniparty. They run this state. And let me tell you what's going on here, okay? This is a once-in-generation chance to turn South Carolina into something good, into a freedom factory like Florida. We have the voter mentality here to do it. We have just been kept down by the Graham machine. Let me tell you what. These people inside the Graham machine, what it is a cabal of donors, staffers, and then consultants who use the donors' money. They've not just kept control of that Senate seat. I'm going to get to that in a minute, but control of this state to the point where Democrats are now openly running for office and our so-called Republican leaders who have the same consultants, they share the same consultants with these Democrats, are saying nothing about it, especially not with David Pasco, with the very Democrat, pretend to be Republican leaders of our legislature. Democrats are walking in here, Dick Harpootlian and running Democrats as Republicans. And the Graham machine helps with that. Folks, you're seeing the textbook this week. You're watching Democrat state legislators turn the vote out, telling their voters go vote in the primary, go vote for Darlene Graham. And I've brought you all of that. But you're also seeing Democrats take their precious resources, $1 million, and run ads. And folks, this idea, she doesn't know, she's confused. Do you realize that the state newspaper's written about this now? I mean, there's no way she can't know. And they even point out what I point out, that Tom Madsy, who raised money for Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, helped run a PAC with ads for them, and then celebrated at a Green New Deal, green energy inaugural ball, bragged that he was working to help defeat Trump in 2024, and that he works with Never Trump Republicans. Tom Madsy even admitted to the state newspaper, yeah, we're running these ads, but you know, it's, yeah, we're against Norman. We're against Norman. Well, then you're for Darlene Graham. You're not. They are not going to run ads for a conservative Republican if that's what Darlene Graham is. I'm here to tell you, their resources are too precious. And the state even points out how very strange it is that it's a Green New Deal climate change pack. And yet the ads are deceptive. The ads run on Darlene Graham's behalf are incredibly deceptive. They don't mention climate change. They don't mention climate change subsidies, which you have to pay to Democrat groups. Why, I don't know. Thank you, Ralph Norman, for getting them stripped out of the big, beautiful bill. They should have never been there in the first place. And by the way, that's not Trump's fault. That's the funniest part. Norman and Trump were on the same side on that. Trump has shut down so many of these solar and wind farm projects. Good for him. Ralph Norman gave him cover to do that by saying, no, I'm not voting for the green, you know, the big, beautiful bill, as long as there's Green New Deal in there. Anyway, folks, what's so nasty about this that she will not condemn, and I know she's seen this. So I challenged her. I'm just telling you, condemn it. Say, hey, look, I've discovered Democrats are funding, you know, my campaign, all these ads that are being sent deceptively to South Carolinians. Just condemn it. Say you don't want it. Tell them to turn off the spigot. I don't want anything to do with Democrats. She won't do it. And that tells you everything about who this woman is and who her campaign is. You know what makes it worse, though? And even the state newspaper recognizes this. They're not, if they were running ads for her honestly, like, well, we like Darlene because we think that she's going to vote for all of AOC's climate change subsidies. We'll all get rich. Cool. All right. But they're not. They're pretending to be conservative Republicans, and they're criticizing Ralph Norman for not being sufficiently pro-Trump enough when they are Democrats themselves. So it is incredibly deceptive. It's being done in Darlene Graham's name. I've challenged her, disavow, condemn the lies. I had another one of their texts yesterday. Nope. And folks, that tells you everything you need to know about who this woman's going to be. So we need to go to the polls, because let me tell you what, these people win. They're not just controlling that Senate seat, folks. These are the people that kill off the conservatives in the primaries. These are the people who come like the hounds of hell for the Republican, conservative Republican Freedom Caucus members in the primaries. These are the people that Republican leadership in this state are paying back when they defeat efforts, as requested by Trump, to redraw Jim Clyburn's congressional district, which is fakely created for him by our legislature to disenfranchise Republican voters and hand a district that no way, no how should go to the Democrats, to the Democrats. So folks, what you're watching is payback. I'm telling you what happened here. The machine, the Lindsey Graham folks, it called up the Democrats and said, hey, listen, we just gave you Jim Clyburn's seat. We let you keep it. That's worth $1 million. We need you to spend it on our friend Darlene. Or, you know, we may just redraw that district. Folks, they work together. And you can shatter that machine. You never get a chance to do something this cool. So what I need you to do today, I need you to go early vote. Take everyone with you. Take five people with you. Or get five people. Maybe they don't live here. Maybe they live out in the coast. Especially need to reach them, because they are the ones being brainwashed right now by the very Democrats Darlene Graham refuses to condemn, and whose money continues to fund her campaign or the campaign against Ralph Norman in this state. I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen Democrats or Republicans so openly, well, Rhino Republicans work together. This is historic. And you could change it. So don't call here whining, crying, complaining. You don't like how our legislators voted or how Darlene Graham votes. This is your chance. You got to go do something today. You need to early vote. Folks, this is the kind of stuff you get when you elect the uniparty. Finally, after all these years, this is coming into focus. Here's what happened. Just had a conviction of an advisor, underling to Anthony Fauci. And this guy's job was to run around breaking FOIA law and help hide it. He just pled guilty to conspiracy to violate FOIA law. On what? Oh, they were covering up the origins of the COVID virus. Well, specifically what? Now, what the Echo Health Alliance was doing in that Wuhan lab, how much coordination with Anthony Fauci personally was going on, how much coordination with the NIAID, that's Fauci's agency that he headed, was going on. That's why we don't know these things, folks. You got to understand what the background is here. Congress has twice declassified all this. You know the origins of COVID, right? You ever seen it? No. Why? They can't find it. Why? Because these guys violated FOIA law to hide how they created COVID in partnership with, and I know that Darlene Graham doesn't know this, but our worst enemy on earth, who is, wait, come on, it'll come to me. Cuba, God, no, it starts with a C. Hold on. Let me look it up. Oh, China. It's China. Sorry. Yeah, it's China. I knew it would come to me if I just thought hard enough. So where we are this morning is that when you look at this indictment, it is really a thing of wonder. Here, and he's pled, and basically what it says is, this is the guy, Morenz, who was in charge for Anthony Fauci and Echo Health Alliance of destroying the documentation of how they all came together and created COVID, and he was also in charge of, you know, making sure all their communications about it were done, you know, on private email, things that, you know, the American people, FOIA, you know, Freedom of Information Act law, can't access. That's why we haven't seen this, because they either hid it or destroyed it. So the good news about this is we're in the sentencing phase. This is a plea deal. They flipped him. He's agreed to work with them. He's still facing 5 years. Could be worse. There's two other co-conspirators. So what they're doing here is building up the ability of, okay, they destroyed the information, they hid it, and I would too. I wouldn't want to go to, you know, prison for treason for the rest of my life or worse. What they did here, they're flipping these people. This is, and you know what they're doing? They're flipping them to try to get the truth. What did you destroy? What did you hide? Now, keep in mind here, folks, this is the same Anthony Fauci who incredibly, in January of 2020, if I'd said to you, January 2020, I went to the grocery store, just stuck a microphone in people's face. Hey, what's COVID? I don't know. It was already spreading in China. People wouldn't have known. Fauci's writing in January of 2020, when COVID really was kind of an obscure international story at the time, that it came from the Wuhan lab. He would then spend the months and years after that destroying evidence and doing those kinds of things. So, folks, here's the question, okay? And this is where this is going to get really interesting. These people all know to destroy this. Just like the Chinese knew to hack those boards of elections, get the internal information, create fake driver's licenses to use in mass mail-in balloting, just like the Democrat Party officials in a lot of these states knew to change or break the law to allow mass mail-in balloting, to allow the cheating that we now know the FBI has, you know, assessed that China and the Democrats did. Who was coordinating this? I mean, folks, you even had the CISA agency, which is a cybersecurity agency, using taxpayer dollars to create an algorithm they then unleashed on social media to detect uses of the words absentee ballot fraud they created in June of 2020. How did they know they would need it? Somebody is coordinating all this at the top. That's what got destroyed. Somebody is coordinating between China. And think about how convenient the release at just the right time economically of this virus was. By the way, released during a period that ultimately scuttled the Trump-China trade deal, because remember, it had an out clause. If there was any kind of virus or pandemic, it would be suspended. That's why we currently don't have a trade deal with China. Remember, we already signed one. It was not advantageous to China, but we don't have it anymore because the virus scuttled it. So all of this had to be coordinated. The hacking, the fake driver's licenses, the Democrats doing their job to allow mass mail-in balloting so they could have the fraud, the release of the virus, and then Fauci's many lies and all of the Biden officials, their many, many lies later of, you know, basically, hey, this is more dangerous, more deadly than we claim, and you've got to do all these things, shut down the economy, destroy Trump's economy, have mass mail-in balloting so China can help us cheat. Somebody coordinated all of that. And I'm telling you that right there is what's in that FOIA. That the stuff destroyed so it could not be FOIA'd. Drip, drip, drip. We get a little closer every day. New one, folks, caught on, and it's not surprising. Caught on camera, hot mic. Darlene Graham taking a question from a reporter. I'll play the hot mic part, where the reporter assures the staffer that you can't see off camera, nothing too difficult here. Anyway, we're not going to ask anything too difficult of Darlene.
Nothing too difficult here. All right. Beautiful. So yesterday during the debate, Representative...
Let me play that again because I've had to amp it up. Nothing too difficult here, the reporter says. The staffer says, thank you.
Nothing too difficult here. All right.
Okay, thank you. Nothing too difficult here. Can't have her ask the kind of questions that Ralph Norman gets. She's a Democrat, after all, and gets Democrat privilege. Like, folks, if you we're 3 days into this thing since the debate. And we're nice people here. We've given her the benefit of the doubt. Maybe she didn't know Democrats have chunked $1 million into her campaign. Even the state newspaper admits, yes, they're, you know, a pro-climate change spending group, but somehow they're pretending to be Republicans, and their message is entirely that Ralph Norman wasn't sufficiently loyal to Donald Trump. In other words, they are deceiving the voters of South Carolina. Pretending to be Republican, pretending to object to Ralph Norman because he's not sufficiently loyal, they claim, to Trump. Folks, these are the same guys, including Tom Mazzei, that worked with other Democrats to elect Kamala Harris in 2024. This PAC is funded by a left-wing billionaire that spent $12 million, almost, a little shy of it, trying, it's like 11.5 million, trying to elect Kamala Harris. They are pretending to be Republicans. A lot of the stuff in your inbox is coming from them. And I'm just asking, Darlene Graham, now that you know, and there's no way you don't know, condemn them. Tell them to go home. Tell them to get out of South Carolina. Stop lying on your behalf to Republican voters in this state. She won't do it. She won't do it. 3 days since the debate. Now she knows Democrats fund her campaign. She could have read about it in the state newspaper. But she won't do it. Folks, I am terrified of what it will look like if this woman gets elected. You need to go vote. Take five people with you. The polls close at 5 today, or you can go on Tuesday.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time, or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.